Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Well, I want to get into some things that I was asking the Lord about, and I really got a download that I really feel like God is wanting to present today. Before we get into it completely, I just want to let you know that if you feel disqualified for service in His kingdom, it's not the truth. Your effort can never qualify you. He is the one that qualifies you. He is the one that takes everything that you bring to Him as much as it is. And I really like the passage that Miss Mary read concerning, we just need to bring the fuel. We just need to bring what we have, and He's the spark that makes it all happen. And that is the truth. He is the spark that makes it all happen. It is His life. It is His holiness. It is His righteousness. It is His love. If you're able to love anybody, you're loving them with the love that He's given you. We're not an island to ourselves. We're not anything on our own. We're all who we are because of Him. Everybody say, because of Him. So I don't know, how many of you feel like you've sort of been put back, you've sort of been disqualified for doing something for God? I want you to be very honest and just raise your hand. Sometimes I just feel like I'm a little, wave it real high. It's a lie. It really is. It's a lie. He is the one that is qualifying you to do what He's leading you to do. And it may look to you like a big thing, but a lot of times when He starts us out, it starts us out small. Because He wants to see how faithful we'll be. He already knows, but He wants us to be able to see the faithfulness that we're carrying to be able to do the things that He wants us to do, even the small things, even the little things. That's the reason when you serve, when you carry the servant's heart, when you really want to serve God, He may put you in very small places, very little places, doing the very little things. So your faithfulness will be observed in your own being, and your faithfulness be observed by others to say they're faithful. J.D. McFarland just passed away, just went home to be with the Lord. And one of the things I can say about him, he was faithful. When he could come to church, he was here, and then he was always encouraging. He was always honoring. He loved God and he loved you. He loved this place. He loved you. He loved being here. He really did. And we do pray for Miss Betty. Lord, we just pray that Miss Betty would be able to breathe in her lungs in the most supernatural way, but yet it becomes natural as you bring her into that place of being free in her lungs. There's a shift. How many of you believe there's a shift that's taking place in our midst? There is there's a shifting that's going on, and there's some transitioning. You know what a transition really is? A transition is leaving a place that you can't go back to. See, we use and going to a place that hasn't really been manifested yet. That's transition. We use that word transition. Well, I'm just in transition, but we really use it. We overuse it because sometimes we're really not because we never left. Y'all get it in a little bit, I guess. But see, transition is leaving something that I can't go back to, and going to a place that might not be revealed yet, and then again, it may be. How many of you know, how many of you have experienced true transition before in your life? In other words, you know you can't go back there. You know you're not going back there. And it might not be a bad thing. Might be one of those good things, but you just can't go back there. You're not supposed to go back. Because why? There's been a turning. There's been a turning, a transition. There's been a turning of the page in your life that leaves this page and enters into this one. One of mine was, I left Hercules to come here. Can't go back to Hercules. Why? I transitioned from, and I went to. See, true transition, I didn't know what it was going to be like. Matter of fact, the place that I left said, you'll starve to death. I don't know when that kicks in, but I'm nowhere close. You'll never make it. What are they paying you? And I said, look, and they, you know, in the see, there's part of leaving something that always wants you to stay. I always want you to just stay put. And there'll be reasonings and justifications why you shouldn't go. Why you shouldn't leave where you currently are in order to be able to go where you're supposed to go to. Right? How many of you have had those? I gotta leave here, you know. And they'll make it look good. They'll make staying look real good. But when you've heard God, you're gonna have to choose when what looks good, what sounds good, and what God said. I mean, in leaving that company, they just didn't offer me two raises. They offered me two levels of position. One, and not, oh, come on, yeah, we'll do it. And then, I can't do that. I need to go. Well, then they came back and said, well, we're going to offer you this level. I said, I can't do that. Why? Because I've already heard God. Your calling, let me tell you something. Your calling will always take you to places, to an activity that you never anticipated. I never would believe that I would, I never did anticipate that I'd be in a place to where they would offer you this amount of money. That's a lot more than what you're currently making, and you turn it down. And then they come back and they offer you even more money than that just to stay. And then you look at them and say, I can't do that. And then you turn it. I never did anticipate in leaving that I'd look at all the money that they were waving. Stay with us. Stay with us. We want you here. I never did anticipate saying no to that. Your calling and your placing that God is doing in your life is bringing you to the place of the edge of your next step in faith that brings you to a destiny that you never realized that God had for you. See, it's not just me, it's you. He brings you right to the place to where it's uncomfortable for you, and you're going to have to leave the very place that you're comfortable in. You're going to have to leave the very things that you're comfortable with in order to be able to step in faith into the things that God says he has for you. But you don't even know what they are. You just know that it's him. I know that it's him. And then you're able to move in a place that you walking around and everything then the company looks at you and says, well, you know, we've got some advantages that we can really, you know, do, but we've got some things that we'll give you. We got some things that you deserve. We got some things that are yours right now. But you're not going to get them if you leave. But yet they're yours. And then you just look at that and say, well, and he was a regional HR guy, and I said, well, if God wanted me to have them, I'd have them. So I guess what he wants me to tell you is you can keep them. You keep them. You can have them. He said, it makes no sense to me. And I said, it doesn't to me either. All I can tell you that it's God. God will bring adversity in your life. He will allow the adversity to come into your life. Yes or no? How many of you have been? How many of you have been a Christian more than 5 years? You know, everybody. You know God. You know you've had adversity. But see, when He brings adversity and He brings this stuff into your life, He's just positioning you and me for the next level of entry to the kingdom. Because He wants you to have the fullness of the kingdom inside you, and not just that, but demonstrated in you and through you. That's how you and I become instruments of righteousness, to be able to be used for righteousness' sake, because He's bringing us from glory to glory, from faith to faith, from this place to this place. But we can't do that sitting still. You with me? See, God is just positioning you and I to be able to just enter into the next place, even though it looks very difficult in the entry. So over in Acts, it said it is through much tribulation, and that word tribulation means narrow place. It is going through a very narrow, tight place, like a bottleneck. You know, you have the bottle, and then you have the neck. That neck is called the tribulation point. That's the narrow place. Whatever's inside you, in order to be able to go to the kingdom, that's inside you has got to go through this tight place, this narrow place, in order to enter the kingdom. That's what the Bible says in Acts. It is through much tribulation, the narrow place that you enter, this hardship, that this tight place that you're going through, that you enter into the kingdom of God. But we look at the narrow place and we say, I don't want to go through that. And what we do, is limit the amount of kingdom that we actually experience, even though it's at hand. The kingdom is at hand. The kingdom's here. But to enter the kingdom, there's a narrow place that all of this needs to be poured out. And have you know, have you seen the when you take a bottle and it's got a neck from the South, they used to call them dopes. Not dope. They used to call them dopes. Sodas, pops. Do y'all call, I think Wisconsin called them pops. Calls them pops. I think I heard y'all say that word. Called pop. You know, why? You got this soda, you got this pop, and you take the top off, you want to get it from there out into the open. Not going to do you any good until it does. Have you seen the violence that it takes when it's just turned up like this? It's not a smooth transition. How many of you have been in those transitions that it was not smooth? But you made it. You made it out. You made it through. So he says over in Psalms 4, verse 1, that he said, through distress, everybody say distress. Through distress, you have enlarged me. You have enlarged me through distress. I don't want distress. No. I'm not signing up for distress. Well, you signed up when you said yes to God. It's through distress that He enlarges us. That word enlarge means to gain a new place to put Him on display. You gain, when you go through distress, when you go through this pain, when you go through this narrow place, you gain it because He enlarges you. I don't want to be enlarged. Well, He wants you to be enlarged. I don't want, no, not, but He wants you to. How many of you know that God is involved in developing who you are in Him? How many of you know God's involved in that? God's just not sitting back and saying, oh, okay, you know, no. He's constantly bringing things that's going to encourage you to seek Him. How many of you have ever been in a place before and all of a sudden you've got, God, just get me out of it. Just get me out of this. Just get me out of this. You get me out of this one and I'll take care of the next one. Just get me out of this. Why are we doing that? He's wanting you to seek Him. But see, God does not want us just to seek what He can do. He wants us to seek who He is. And in seeking and finding who He is, the satisfaction of being in Him begins to take place. Are y'all with me? So you're not disqualified. You may be in transition. You may be leaned upon by the power of the Holy Spirit to leave where you currently are in order to get where you're going. And it can't be driven by need. It cannot be driven by need. It has to be driven by presence. Because let me ask you, did Hurt Sellanese need me? They acted like they did. But it can't be driven by need. It has to be driven by presence. It has to be driven to a place of saying, no, this is God and this is what He wants me to do. Well, how's it going to work? I don't know how it's going to work, but this is what He said and I know He's going to take care of us. Why? Because that tight place and all the turbulence that goes through going to that tight place, once you get through it, it's just wide open. You see things you've never seen before. You experience things that you've never experienced before. And you begin to be able to walk in things that you've never walked in before. And that's God. God's involved in that process in your life. But we resist it and we fight it. And all He's telling you is, come on, take the step. Come on, you can do it. Come on. Enter in. He looks at the weary and the heavy laden over in Matthew. You remember? He looks at the weary and the heavy laden and those that are just at their wit's end. And what does He say to them? Come on. Just come on. Come to me. And then when you start to agree with God, your agreement will authorize what you experience. Your agreement with God will authorize, give authorization into what you're going to actually be able to live out. But it's going to have to come from your agreement. Are y'all okay? Are y'all listening? Okay, y'all drinking in? Okay. See, I'm going to tell you this. How many of you really cry out to God sometimes for breakthroughs? Be honest with me. Cry out to God for breakthroughs. You know, a lot of times he'll just give you the breakthrough that you're crying out for, and it's absolutely wonderful. How many of you have ever cried out to God and the breakthrough just never happened? Be honest with me. The breakthrough just never happened. I got the answer for that. This is part of the download that God gave. It's the thing about our breakthroughs that he says, sometimes your breakthrough will come when you have grown beyond the strategy of the enemy to hold you there. Sometimes your breakthrough will come when you've outgrown the strategy of the enemy to hold you at that level. That makes sense? Yeah. So when I don't get the breakthrough instantly like I'm looking for, he's looking for me to grow beyond the strategy that the enemy has for me to hold me back. Sound like too much work, don't it? Who said that's good? Who said that's good? That's good. I got one amen that I'm really. No, I got others. I really heard you. Really, you know, so I'm just waiting on a breakthrough, just waiting on a breakthrough. And the whole time God's saying, come on. I want you to take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly. And when you do that, you'll be able to find rest for your souls. Come on. We are co-laborers with Christ. We're not just squatters. We're pioneers. We really are. We're not just squatters, and we're just saying, well, I'm just waiting on God. Well, God's waiting on you. Come on. He said, come on. Enter into this thing that I've got laid out for you. But it looks tough, God. It is tough if you're only looking at it in the natural. But if you look at it as you look at me, it's easy. Just come on. See, there's an encouragement that comes from God for us to move beyond where we currently are in order to be able to expand and be enlarged by the adversity, for us to be enlarged, for us to gain the space, a brand new space and a brand new place inside us that we can put him on display. Do you know he loves to be put on display inside your life? That's the reason he goes over in Revelation. That's the reason he goes from door to door, knocking on the doors. What's he saying? Behold, I stand at the door and... See, that was written to Christians. So Christians have got compartments, they've got areas in their life that God is saying, you're not communing with me in that area. And I'm knocking on the door because I want you to let me in this place that you hidden, that you're afraid of. Because I want to commune with you, and I want my presence to be bigger than the thing that you're hiding. I want my presence to be bigger. I want our communion together to be larger than this thing that you've hidden, this thing that you're putting back and not being open in. And this is for all of us. See, there's future assignments that you don't have hold of yet is because you haven't left where you currently are, and he's been trying to get you and I to move beyond where we currently are to get the future assignments that we've been given to do. It's raining, it's pouring, church is no longer boring. Mm-mm. God's exciting. He really is. I got some things I want to show you if I can get through these today. Let me ask you this question. Do you sense an urgency in our land today? Yes. One more time.
Yes.
All right. If there's a no, somebody come in and talk to me so I can settle down a little bit. No. Do you sense the urgency? The next thing is, what do you think is needed? What's needed? Next question is, do you think the church has a role to play? Now say, that's me.
That's me.
That's me.
All right, that's me. Do you think the church has a role to play? Yes, resoundingly, yes. What's the next thing? Do you think you have a part in making something happen?
Yes.
All right, I'll ask you, what are you doing? Oops. Well, well, I'm just not ready yet. Well, God hadn't released me. From what? So, do you personally think you have a part to play in making a difference in this society?
Yes.
In this world?
Yes.
Because Jesus said, you are the light and you are the
salt.
All right, get to work. Get to work, right? And the next, let's read this, stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Everybody stand to your feet. Let's read this together. I'll start it out, but I want you to keep going. And that knowing the time. For now is our salvation nearer. You may be seated. Say, it's high time. Y'all said that pretty good. Say,
it's high time
for my time
doing his work.
Say that again. It's high time for my time in doing his work. One more time. Amen. See, we need to, it's high time for us to awaken out of this slumber. Well, you heard earlier that God's not asleep. He's not even drowsy. Here's some of my humor. And he invented PM. Never mind. It's a long time. So keep your humor to yourself. He invented PM and he's not even sleepy. So anyway, all right, let's go. He says this, I have time to awake out of the sleep. How many of you know that there is slumber all over the earth? And it's high time. Let me see if I can, I got it here. This is out of the Passion. To live like this is all the more urgent, for time is running out and you know it. Is a strategic hour in human history. It is time for us to wake up for our full, this is not about being born again, for our full salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. There's a strategy of God that's at work. And he wants us to understand that it's now, it's urgent, and it's high time. The next verse in Passion, it says, night's darkness is dissolving away as a new day of destiny dawns. God's at work in raising up a new day of destiny, and it's dawning in front of our eyes. Everybody say, a new day of destiny.
New day of destiny.
That's me. Say, that's me.
That's me.
So we must once and for all strip away what is done in the shadows of darkness, removing it like filthy rags, clothes. And once and for all, we clothe ourselves with radiance of light as our weapon. Everybody say, the radiance of light. You don't have, we sing about this little light of mine. This light is like it's a radiant beam. So we're going to talk about understanding what ushers in awakening. One of the things we need is an awakening. And you know what a great awakening is? That's when the awakening spreads. We need an awakening in this land. So the question is, how are we going to get to this place? How are we going to get here? It's going to be by personal revival. Everybody wants collective revival, but collective revival will not, corporate revival does not come unless there's a personal revival. Say, it starts with me. Well, as soon as everybody else get a hold of God, then I'll go ahead and get a hold of God too. Well, as soon as everybody else did, and I, no, uh-uh, it starts with you. So revival is personal. How do I know that? Over in Psalm 69, verse 32, it says, "You who seek God, let your heart revive." Seeking God revives your heart. See, reviving is to activate and to set in motion a consciousness of God. So how many times do you need to be revived? Many. Many, but it starts with you. Do you seek God? He said, if you seek God, your heart will be revived. Psalm 119 says, revive me, several of them. He says, revive me according to your word. According to your word, set me into motion of being conscious for you, conscious about you, of you. Verse 37, turn away my eyes from looking at vanity. Turn away my eyes from looking at things that don't matter. And revive me with your ways. Revive me with thy ways, the word, thy ways. Verse 40, behold, I long for thy precepts. Revive me through thy righteousness. Revive me. Get me into the place of being more conscious of my righteousness, and I'll be more conscious of you. Revive me in verse 88. Revive me according to your loving kindness. How many of you know the Lord has loving kindness for you? That should activate you, get you into motion about being more conscious about God. That's your personal revival. Your personal revival is going to be exactly what it needs for others to be lit by it. According to thy loving kindness, revive me according to thy loving, verse 88, according to thy loving kindness, so that I may keep the testimony of thy mouth. Revive me. You know, this is the year, by the way, if you're not coming to Wednesday night, you ought to come. We're talking about this new year, this new decade that is upon us, and it's the year, this 75780, this 80, the 80 is a new decade, 80, and the prophetic picture of that on the Hebrew calendar is the mouth. Okay, but we're discovering a lot of things on Wednesday. You need to come be a part of that. So from personal revival, we get revive me, thy word, thy ways, thy precepts, thy loving kindness, and thy righteousness. I need personal revival. You know, we put out signs in the churchyard that says revival. And we just have a few meetings and continue on as we take up the sign. Are you with me? Corporate revival starts with individuals. But yet we wait for a revival, but God says in his word, my ways, my precepts, my loving kindness, my righteousness will bring you revival, bring you personal revival. Amen? Amen. That will lead us to a place of agreement with God. Agreement with God. Once again, we said, your agreement with God will authorize your experience with God. When you begin to be in harmony with what God is saying about who he is and being in harmony with what God is saying about you. But see, we'll fight that a lot of times because we don't think we're anything. When he says we're everything, because he has everything of him put in us. So we have to go from a personal revival to agreeing with God. How many of you have ever disagreed with God? Half of you is lying. I'm messing with you. I'm just messing with you. I've disagreed with God so many times I can't even count them. He says you're fully accepted. And I've disagreed with him a lot of times. I'm not accepted, God. That he loves me regardless. And sometimes I just don't feel his love. But he said, agree with me. He said, if you agree to two or three and you agree with each other, but you have to, before you can, see, we want to claim that, be in agreement with each other and the Father will give you anything that you ask. See, we want that agreement, but we're not agreeing with him first. We have to be in agreement with him. We have to agree with, when he says he's your provider, what are you worrying about? What are you worrying about? God's going to take care of me. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? You know. So he says, from personal revival, we be in agreement with God. It's in our faith and our trust and our walk that he is who he says he is. He'll do what he says he'll do. And we are who he says we are. Yes. And that will lead you to a place of aligning and renewing your mind, renewing your thoughts. When you start agreeing with God, you start this mind renewing that takes place. Is, wait a minute, if I'm agreeing with God, he says this. So I'm going to have to be in alignment with what he says because I'm in agreement with God. So I'm going to change my mind of what I've been thinking about me. And I'm going to change my mind about what I've been thinking about others. And I'm going to change my mind of what I've been thinking about God. I'm going to align with God, and that will bring you to what? Anybody know the word? Transformation. See, that's in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 says that, what does it say? It says, do not be conformed to this world, that this world tells you all kind of things, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may do what? That you may put on display the will of God. People say, well, I don't know the will of God. They should never say that with you around. They should never be, I don't know the will of God. Why? If you're a transformed person, you'll be able to display the will of God. It all starts with personal revival. You want to change this place? We answered these questions earlier, but wait a minute, we are in a mess here. We're waiting on God, and God's waiting on us. So he brings this place of transformation, and I'm going to read this passage out of the Message Bible. Romans 12, out of the Message. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you, I want you to take your everyday, ordinary, your sleeping, everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping life, your eating, your going to work, your walking around life, and I want you to place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you in the best thing is the best thing that you can do for him. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted. This is our problem. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you. Readily recognize what he wants from you. And quickly respond to it. Unlock the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. God brings the best out of you and develops a well-formed maturity in you. Boy, that's good stuff. It really is. So he goes from this place of being personal revival. See, being born again does not mean you've been transformed. It means you've been translated from the darkness into the light. You've been taken out of darkness and put into light, but that doesn't mean you've been transformed. Transformation only comes when you're renewing your mind and you're in alignment with God and saying what he's saying and being in agreement with him. And when something rises up, you say, oh, no, I'm not going to believe that. Why? God didn't say that. See, when your mind has the renewing process in it, you'll be able to hear the voice of God real quick, and you'll be able to hear the voice of the enemy real quick because it doesn't line up with God. See, this culture, this world is waiting on, the creation is groaning for you and I to grow up so we can manifest who God is, put God on display in our living. This will lead you to, once you put the will of God on display, it will bring you to a place of reformation. This thing called reformation, it is reforming. It is to change a behavior. It is to get people to change from a way of evil and doing bad into a way of doing good and a way of following God. See, that's reformation. So we cry for revival, but what we need to cry for is reformation. Revival starts here. Reformation, when we all get together and we start following this process of agreeing with God and getting our thoughts aligned with God, and transformation, actually, when we become actually a transformed people and not just a people who call themselves Christians. We're transformed. Why? We're going to make a difference. This thing about love God, love people, make a difference. This thing is not just a cutesy little thing. This thing ought to be flowing in your heart that no matter where you go, you need to be making a difference. And this process needs to take place in order for reformation to happen. In order for people to be able to change from behaving and moving away from evil and doing bad things into the things of having more of a consciousness of God. And then when that happens, we'll be able to put on display strength. Down here, transformation causes us to display the will of God. Right? But up here in reformation, here's what it says. There's in Daniel 11, it says, there's coming a time when people will rise up against the holy God. You think we're there? There's coming a time when people will be enraged about the things of God. You think we're there? There's coming a time when people will influence people to forsake God. Are we there? There's coming a time when they will pollute worship in the sanctuary. Do you think we're there? Yeah, I think we're there in a lot of places. There's coming a time when twisting words will cause people to turn to God, godlessness. Twisting words will cause people to turn to lawlessness. Are we there? Twisting words. And there's coming a time when culture will lose their compass for truth. Truth. It's that way. He said, you've lost your compass for truth. He said, there's coming a time. But let me tell you what Daniel says. He continues and say this in Daniel chapter 11. He says, but the people who know their God will display strength and will take action. In all of this stuff that is happening, he said, there's a people that are going to know who I am and know who they are, and they will display strength. They will display strength that they don't even have because I'm their strength. They will display strength and they'll be able to take action. Everybody say, take action. Take action. He said, and those who have insight, those who will have the revelation among the people will give understanding to many people. They're waiting to understand and to have the revelation of who God is. Display strength and takes action. That's reformation. And also in the reformation, we'll be able to make proclamations in word and in action. When you begin to proclaim boldly. Everybody say boldly. You want to fix what's wrong? This is the process. Say, I'm in process. So find out where you are in this and get to work. We are co-laborers with God, with Christ. And this intersection right here is it's one thing. Do you know what it is? It's awakening. You want an awakening? It'll be right in the intersection of us being able to do all of these things. Awakening will happen. Awakening will come forth. The awakening will bring the consciousness of God and begin to spread, and their need of God, and will begin to spread. And when they see their consciousness of God and their need of God, they will come to Him. Yes? Yes, I've got to close. Y'all get anything out of this? Well, I tell you that God is at work. One thing, well, there's a couple of things, but one thing is holding a lot of people back. Are you ready? It's victimology. What do you mean, Pastor? It's playing the role of a victim. Victimology always places what's wrong in your life, blaming someone else for what's wrong in your life. That's victimology. Playing the role of a victim will never get you to where you need to be. Well, how do I need, I'm not saying you've not been victimized. I'm not saying you haven't been hurt. I'm not saying you've not been traumatized. I'm not saying anything. I'm not saying that didn't happen. But I am saying playing the role of that victim will keep you from being responsible for your own doings. Check right here. Sometimes we put ourselves right into this place of being a victim. Why? Because we're just comfortable with being a victim. Why? Because it's not my fault then. It's not my responsibility. Everybody say this. I need to take 100% responsibility for my life. For what I say, what I think, what I do. Do you hear that? You and I need to take 100% responsibility for your life. If you continue to play the role of a victim, you will push everything over to the person that has victimized you, and it will be their fault for you not doing anything. Get rid of it. Move away from it. That's the departure time. I'm going to leave victim, and I'm going to enter into being responsible. 100% responsible for what I say, what I hear, what I feel, what I do. 100% responsibility. Everybody say, no more victim.
No more victim.
I'm responsible.
Good word.
All right, stand to your feet. Guess what? You've heard something today that you're going to be responsible for. Well, it was too cold. I didn't hear him. Well, it was too hot. Are y'all with me? No. 100% responsibility for what you heard today. Because He's bringing you to the place, to the edge of your walk with Him, and saying, I want you to enter into a place that you've never gone. And He wants to complete this process because He is completely involved in every bit of this. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So when you leave here, how you treat the waitress when they are late. We went to a restaurant the other night, and And we waited. After we're seated, we waited and we waited and we waited. People over here got their food. They came in after us. People over here got their food. They came in at people over here. Now, what do you think flesh was saying? You do not deserve this kind of treatment in this establishment. So when that girl comes back, you let her have it. You demand an answer. You have rights, you know. Flesh is always active. You know what the Spirit of God says? When that girl comes back, you bless her. Bless her with your words. You're doing a great job. And her name was Crystal. It's crystal clear to me that God's at work here. Right. So whenever you go and whenever you sit at the red light and it changes green and red and green and red two or three times and you ain't went under it yet, work out the horn. See if it works. I mean, I'm messing with you. That's what the flesh. What are you doing up there? God is bringing us to a place to what? Put him on display. Because this thing that you're going through, this distress that you're going through, is enlarging you to a new territory that they can see God. Oh, thank you. Thank you. All right, I need to hush, I know. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your grace and your mercy that's at work. Oh, Lord, we report for duty. And we ask you in Jesus' name to start the process that we will be reformers. And we know we've got some work to get there, but we're wanting to go through it. We love you. We worship you. We want to make a difference in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard Podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.